Good morning. Thanks for joining me on the Meg Ellefson Show. On this, as I've said already this morning, this Thursday Eve, I am enjoying this beautiful sunny day, and I encourage you, wait until after the show's over. Then you can go outside and get some natural vitamin D. I am very happy to have joined me for the first time on the Meg Ellefson Show, State Representative Jerry O'Connor, who is currently serving in the Assembly's 52nd District, and now, well, soon to be, will be serving in the 60th Assembly, the newly redrawn 60th Assembly District. And if you think that that sounds confusing, I'm sure it is, and I'm sure it will be to many voters. Perhaps part of the reason why, I won't even say perhaps, the reason why those on the left pushed so hard to gerrymander the existing maps as they stood. Good morning, State Representative Jerry O'Connor. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. Well, I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for joining me. Let's start by talking about, I mean, I guess it really doesn't matter anymore. It's probably generally the same area, but maybe includes some and excludes others. But talk about the new 60th Assembly District and the lines that it now covers.
My district is in the Fond du Lac area, and in the 52nd district, the heart of everything I have is the city of Fond du Lac. That represents about 40,000 out of the nearly 60,000 constituents. And the changes that I experience is townships for the village of North Fond du Lac in one new township. In terms of representative of the about 15-17%. So it was not a big impact on me.
Well, that's interesting. And I mean, I'm happy for you that that's not as disruptive as one would anticipate. But so, you know, I was reading your biography, and I know you don't have, well, maybe you do have a published biography, but an online biography, whether or not it's accurate or not, will to be determined. But I see that you came from a great mom who, and I'm sure a great dad, who had seven boys in your family growing up?
That's right.
Wow.
Yes.
I salute your mom.
My mom is one of the finest administrators you would ever meet in life. We swear she didn't do dishes for 12, 14 years. Everybody had their assignments.
Well, that's what you have kids for. Just kidding. But
she kept using this phrase, oh, when you get married, your wife's going to love you.
Because
we had learned all those domestic chores, and yeah, it's worked out well for me.
Well, good. And I mean, I suppose it does. It is nice to have a guy that helps out around the house, and for your mom to have, well, to have survived raising seven boys, I give her a lot of credit for that. The other thing I noticed, and you perhaps aren't aware, I'm originally from Minnesota, so it caught my attention that you attended Minnesota Bible College, and then and then graduated from UW, graduate school of banking. So you have a finance background, and I mean, how critical and important that is in the state legislature.
It is. So I was community bank president for, I think that was 14 years out of 22 at a bank in Waupun, just south of here. A community banker touches every facet of a community, from charitable organizations, because we're always asked for donations, from your school systems, people buying homes, cars, small business, large business, and agriculture. It gives you a view and a daily experience that few actually have. So I think it's a great preparation field for coming into the legislature. I'm inclined to think we need to go out and actually be successful in the general public. I think we understand them better when we come to the legislature of the various issues that are going to be brought before us. So I was real happy with the background, and it served me well as I entered the legislature.
Well, I think what's so interesting and unique in my getting to know our Republican legislators is how varied the careers have been and experiences, but that really makes you all great representatives of the people. And, you know, there's not one cookie cutter I guess, state representative in the assembly. I think everyone has their own unique experiences and frankly, qualifications to be representing. Mm-hmm. And so do you sit on any, I mean, I'm not aware of, well, I guess I'm not aware of any of the committees that you sit on that would be applicable to your experience in, well, in banking.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm vice chair of the Financial Services Financial Institutions Committee, and was able to get through some large regulatory type bills that most people wouldn't understand. I think one I did for Department of Financial Institutions was 113 pages, about 7 years in the making. They were quite gratified that I got that through in about a 7 month period. But the key was I'd understood it. I knew what they were asking. I was able to challenge them, and they made actually changes to about every suggestion I had because it was reasonable. So did work in trust area, and overhaul of the trust laws here in Wisconsin. That was about a 90-page bill. So those are comfort areas for me. And I'll just point, just capitalize on your previous point. If something came up on health care, I went to the nurses that were serving in the legislature. I went to them for their expertise because it cuts my learning curve dramatically. So I was able to do the same when it came to financial service issues. Just a couple of other things. I'm on the College and Universities Committee. We have a important battle taking place with Universities of Wisconsin as it relates to DEI. Mm-hmm. And spending. One of the bills that it was part of the large negotiation, if you want your college raises that had been approved, then you're going to give something back on the DEI side. A bill I had passed was any student graduating the top 10% of their high school graduating class, where only scholastics are used for that determination of the top 10%, you have automatic admission to the UW schools of your choice. If you're in the top 5%, that guarantees you to get into Madison. And what it did is it takes away all of these other DEI, basically, requirements that are based on sexual identity, on race, could be in-state, out-of-state. We simply pay for our kids to get into our UW system. And what we found out through various testimony is kids were being turned down. You could be top of their class. Those kids now go to school in Minnesota and Iowa and Indiana is the three other Big Ten choices. That's just nonsense. So that bill is being implemented. The governor signed it. And not because he wanted to, but it was part of a larger negotiation.
Well, and it's important to actually, well, and we'll get to that. I want you to keep on the flow, but I want to talk, you know, let's revisit the negotiation and the strategy involved in being in the assembly, but continue with your other committees. And
I chaired a speaker's task force on human trafficking. This is a separate exercise. Our focus was on child sex trafficking. We had 15 committee members. We had public hearings around the state. What we learned about sex trafficking in Wisconsin, you're aware that it takes place, but to the level that it takes place or to the damage that it creates was really striking. So we actually were able to get 11 bills introduced, three of those were signed, and we will come back for the other eight next year. But that was an important exercise. Other things that came up, financial elder abuse. This is a huge issue. It's estimated that in Wisconsin, financial elder abuse is measured somewhere north of $3.4 billion. And this is something that we would see in our bank, that you could tell somebody's elderly parent or grandparent really didn't have the faculties to manage their finances, and they were being taken advantage of. It could be from an internet caller. It could be from a family member. It could be from a neighbor. But it's a huge loss. I think they have tried for 6 years to get that bill passed in the legislature. I grabbed that one early because it's one that I give the example. At the same time, I had two bachelor farmers that were customers of the bank that were each taken for over $600,000.
Oh, my gosh.
So this does take place. We had bank representatives and credit union representatives give testimony, and these are the frontline gals that testified. And they can tell you how they just felt sick because they knew something was happening. And because of privacy laws, they could do nothing about it. This legislation allows for a financial institution to intervene before a loss takes place. You know, it's fine if you pass laws that say, okay, shame on so-and-so because they took advantage of this elderly individual, but the money's gone. This bill gives some tools to make the loss stop before it's ever created. So I was really pleased with that one. I was deeply involved in the shared revenue bill, personal property tax bill, which is very needful at the local level. And the tax cut bills, I was involved in each of those, three of them that Evers vetoed. This is just nonsense. Here's a quick example. You can compare Wisconsin. We had the ninth highest income tax rate in the country. However, if you take the East Coast and West Coast and dismiss them, and you take what I defined from North Dakota over to Michigan and straight south of the Gulf, there's 22 states. You have to toss out Minnesota because they're nuts. They are the fourth highest taxes in the country. But if I take Minnesota out of that group, I'm left with 21 states in the middle of the country. Wisconsin's top tax bracket is the highest one of the 21 states. And our second highest tax bracket is number four. This is nonsense. We have budget surpluses because you overtax the public. Return the money back to the people that paid it in. And in all three cases, or all three sets of bills, the governor vetoed those proposals. Real frustration.
Jerry O'Connor, imagine if we had a Republican governor right now. Imagine if we, if Wisconsin Republicans could rally behind a candidate that could prevail in a general election, and we would have, things would be so different here in Wisconsin today.
I can tell you, my wife, Luann, would comment after the 22 election, Jerry's thrilled to have been elected, but he's a little depressed because Tim Michaels wasn't.
A lot depressed that we didn't elect a Republican governor. And you know, I hope we learn from the mistakes of the past. And when I say we, I'm talking about Republicans, and that we are mindful of how damaging it is to have Governor Evers in office. And, you know, before we run out of time, I mean, this is what caught my attention about you, is that you took the time to outline the, well, first of all, there's a record number of bills that came up in this last session, but then also how many, and speaking of records, how many bills Governor, I like to call him Governor Veto, vetoed in this last session as well.
You're absolutely right. I would say in the 2022 campaign, maybe one of the bigger failures, because we lost, is because we did not define Tony Evers by his vetoes. Who is he? What does he really want? What's his agenda? What's the initiative? He has a very hard left administration, and they have plans. So being we just finished our 23-24 session, I went back and looked at the 73 vetoes. This is what you'll find. The top group of vetoes was for election integrity. He vetoed 9 bills. He then goes on, there are 6 tax cut bills, 8 bills for DNR and gun rights. He had 6 bills he vetoed related to DEI and woke, I call them restriction bills on our side of the table. 7 bills related to K-12 and school choice bills. 7 job and workforce bills that are needed. He turns those down. 7 medical health care related bills. 7 criminal justice changes. 7 government regulation bills. And 6 transportation bills. When you go through that, one of the things, and I define it elsewhere, I'm doing another press release next weekend on the number of woke bills introduced by the left. If they were in charge, they will flip Wisconsin in 90 days to be a completely liberal government. Their belief is that government is God, and we will figure out how to take care of all of your needs as long as we can get other people to pay for it. And that's what Evers' bills are. You're probably aware that in Minnesota, and was true in Michigan in 2022, they elected 1 seat majorities in their legislatures. Mm-hmm. They had the Senate, they picked up the representatives, 1 seat majorities, and the number of woke hard left bills they passed is mind boggling. Mm-hmm. Minnesota took a $17 billion surplus, spent all of it, and came back with a new $10 billion in taxes to pay for all of their liberal wish list items. And that is the list that we can pick up from Evers based on his vetoes, and we can pick up from the left side of the aisle based upon the bills they introduced. For the first time, we had a bill introduced that's going to authorize euthanasia for anyone over the age of 18 for any reason whatsoever. We have a bill to reintroduce Roe v. Wade, as it was in the federal courts. We would now make that the law of Wisconsin. It just goes on and on. We need, and I don't consider this to be negative advertising. I consider this to be
truthful,
just passing on what you people have put in writing. So don't have to make anything up. This is who you are. And if you get control of this state, we're in trouble. I do reverse the plan, and I say, here's the 3-year conservative recovery plan. In 2024, we have to maintain the Republican Assembly and Senate here in Wisconsin. On a federal level, elect Trump and Hovde. In 25, the second year of the strategy is you must capture the Supreme Court or we're screwed. Mm-hmm. Because the upcoming Supreme Court re-election campaigns are going to be on conservatives. So it's don't stop fighting. Right. So we get a conservative Supreme Court back. We get to 26, and we replace Josh Cowell and Tony Evers. That's how you get control of the conservative agenda. It took a while for the left to come into Wisconsin. Spent $120 million to elect Tony Evers, the most expensive governor's race in history. This is not about Wisconsin, folks. This is about out-of-state money corrupting our system, giving somewhere in the range of $80 million to Mandela Barnes, who can't qualify as really having ever had a good job other than lieutenant governor and being driven around by the state patrol. Ron Johnson had to go up against that kind of money, but Ron Johnson won, partially because he's an incumbent, but partially because he just worked his tail off, and he continues to do so today. That needs to be the example that we pick up and say, okay, here's a 3-year strategy to put Wisconsin back in a position to have a conservative Supreme Court and have a conservative governor and legislature to protect the people of Wisconsin from the liberal agendas.
State Representative Jerry O'Connor, what a pleasure it has been to chat with you this morning. I I'm only embarrassed that I haven't invited you on sooner, but I certainly hope that you will consider coming back. You're always welcome, particularly. I know that you alluded to an additional press release that you're going to be putting out shortly, so you will hear back from me because it's something
All
that
right.
I think we need to remind our fellow Republicans to focus on that which we can have an impact, and focus on our true opponents, which, again, I mean, if it wasn't clear before they heard from you, it should be clear now how critical it is that people realize Tony Evers is the enemy here. And we need it occurred to me as I'm thinking about it, as we see all this horrible coverage of these Columbia University and then these other universities throughout the country that are protesting. Why aren't Republicans protesting Tony Evers and all that he is trying to inflict upon the citizens here in Wisconsin?
I can only echo your question. We cannot afford to have different segments of the conservative lineup of people fighting with one another. You cannot have everything you want. Maybe the biggest challenge is election integrity. Well, Tony Evers vetoed 9 bills this year. He vetoed 21 in 2022. So if you're wondering why we don't have election integrity, just go straight to the governor's office. He's not interested in making changes because it's working for them. Therefore, that's why that needed to be just a much larger issue than it was in 2022. In a general election. And we need to fight that up and down the line. But you also turn around and say, all right, that's not working. Let's follow Ron Johnson's lead. Let's make certain we have observers inside and outside every polling location in the cities where we know corruption has taken place.
State Representative Jerry O'Connor, thank you so much for joining me.
Awesome.
And I mean, sincerely, what you have done is you've provided a blueprint for Republican candidates to work off of. I mean, these are talking points. These are issues that can be campaigned on and won. Races won on the reality of governor vetoes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, thanks. Yep. Thanks again. I hope you'll consider coming back. You're welcome anytime.
Oh, absolutely.
Keep up the great
All
work.
Right.
What a great guest you were. Thank you.
It's appreciated. Thank you, and you enjoy your day.
Thank you. You too. Going to the 10:30 news, followed by your calls on the other side. If you weren't mad before, you most certainly are probably livid after hearing this conversation. But I encourage you, again, 715-845-2155 to call in after this break on the Meg Ellefson Show on WSAU.